I've been studying and thinking and whatever more about this dividing the carcasses. I want to talk a little bit more about it. It's the proof of the covenant. Your question is, well, Abram's question is, well, how shall I know? Whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it? Whereby shall I know that the promise is true? Whereby shall I know that there's a resurrection? Whereby shall I know that I don't have to lean on my own understanding? Well, that's the core. It's easy to believe this stuff. I mean, it's just because because unless it's pushed, it just becomes an issue where you know, it's just like belonging to the Rotary Club or something. You know, I mean, it's just something.
Well, this is what I meant about the other night about why Abram asked this question. If anybody's honest, you have to ask this question.
Whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it? And he said unto him, take me a heifer of 3 years old, and a she-goat of 3 years old, and a ram of 3 years old, and a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. And he took unto him all these, and divided them in the midst, and laid each piece one against another, but the birds divided he not. And when the fowls came down upon the carcasses, Abram drove them away. And when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram, and lo, a horror of great darkness fell upon him. And he said unto Abraham, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them and afflict them, and shall afflict them 400 years. And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge, and afterward shall they come out with great substance. And thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace, and thou shalt be buried in a good old age. But in the fourth generation they shall come hither again, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. It came to pass that when the sun went down and it was dark, behold, a smoking furnace and a burning lamp that passed between those pieces. So God is saying to Abraham, Abraham says, how shall I know that I'm going to inherit this? Now, you understand that the covenant, what the covenant really is a betrothal. It's not a contract as we know it where you're going to get something. It's a betrothal where God betroths a people, a bride unto himself. In the flesh he called that bride Israel, in the spirit he calls it the church. It's the same bride. But this is where the betrothal took place. And the contract for the betrothal begins to be revealed in this. In the first place, the betrothal, the type, the woman, the female part of the betrothed, all she does is go to sleep. He takes the covenant. But this is the beginning of the marriage ceremony. Now, every relationship and every marriage can only reveal this. If it doesn't reveal this, then it shows what this isn't. Do you understand me? It cannot help but see this. This is on... It's impossible to have a male-female relationship without it revealing this. It either reveals it as it is, or it reveals it as it isn't. Okay, now watch. So it's probably early. Abram was a morning guy. He liked the mornings. Abram got up every morning, sort of looked out at his... He probably trained some of these guys in the Chinese stuff, you know, because he had 318 retainers that he went out. And now they did all that breathing stuff and hi and
real.
But anyway, he's a morning guy.
That was great.
And so he's out there in the morning. It's probably about 5:30 or 6 o'clock in the morning, and he says, "How am I going to know that I'm going to inherit anything?" And God says to him, and he thinks it's God. He's pretty sure it's God. Otherwise, he wouldn't have taken the effort of going and cutting all these animals in half.
Which he did the cat, George.
I thought it was God. No.
God, he was making it.
So now we got him thinking that it's God telling him, and he takes he's got three bullocks, and he's got three rams, and he's got three goats. And it says 3 years old, but that's not what it says. We talked about that last time, remember? So he's got nine animals here, plus the turtle doves.
A lot of birds. The birds getting pretty nervous.
Right. But it's probably taking about 9 in the morning.
He probably did this himself.
Oh, well, yeah, he did. Hey!
Splat.
Splat.
Splat. Why would he do it if he had all these retainers? No.
Because he's the one that's entering the covenant. The other guys aren't.
Oh, that's true.
This is a messy job.
Now, what happens? It's about 9 in the morning, and he's got 9 animals and a bunch of birds cut in half, laying side by side, laying there half against each other. What happened today? I started to visualize this, is what happened.
Which half is up?
Huh? The gut side is down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you don't see the raw flesh.
We see a lot of it. You see a lot of
see
it.
See oozing out the spot. Yeah. And there's got to be blood everywhere.
But there he is. He's up on it. He's up in the high place in Hebron, where you can see everything, right? But he's up in a high place, and he's sitting around, and he's got all these animals cut in half, and you know this flies are going to start coming.
Oh yeah,
it's flabby,
and it stinks.
And we're talking. It's hot. It's in this. It's sun's beating down on this blood, and these carcasses, and the blood doesn't smell worth it. It stinks. We're talking stinks. And not only that, once there's cow dung that he cut in half, because he didn't clean these cows out before he cut them in half. He just cut them in half. He didn't give them cow enemas. So we got pounds of dung and blood that has soaked up this whole area, and there's flies everywhere. Oh, this is just a taste. Imagine this multiplied by...
It's horrible.
Well, I know. I've done it. I've done it a lot. But imagine now, Abram is sitting on a rock.
Ready to lose his breakfast.
And he's waiting. He's waiting for the other party of the covenant to show up. So it's 5 after 9.
Late, God.
The buzzard show.
Now it's 5 after 9, the buzzards come. The vultures come.
Say, what are you doing?
There's all kinds of other birds of prey. You mean, you think how many little animals are attracted by that much blood?
It was like JoJo's.
No coveting party appeared to pass between the pieces. All day long he sat watching, driving away the birds of prey and the flies, and smelling. All day long.
This wasn't a strange thing that he cut the animals up, right? Because other people would do that. It's a strange thing he cut the animals up and there was nobody else there.
Right.
Yeah. He's waiting for...
The blood smelled, the flies buzzed, the buzzards hoovered, but no God.
They hoovered.
Yeah, Hoover was there.
Huh?
Hovered.
They hoovered.
No. Whatever.
You go to head back.
So it seemed to the senses. Now, at evening, the horror of great darkness descended upon him. I mean, he had a pretty good predicate for the horror of great darkness.
Yes, really.
12 hours of time spent with, you know, where are you?
Hi, God. I did my stuff.
I did what you told me, God. Where are you?
It's got buzzards.
So he's made a sacrifice and there's no results.
There's no results.
It's a vain thing.
It's a vain thing. It's a vain thing to serve
real
God.
Real vain thing. All that work and you.
That's right. And who's going to clean it up?
Wait a minute. Let me call...
Harry.
The angel Harry. Eleazar, Harry, what's the difference?
Let me call those 50-year-old Levites over here.
Oh, no. We're
not
right.
Year old Levites.
Reverend, don't ask the problem. I can hear it now. Say, Rex, I've been thinking. See these carcasses over here?
They need some management.
I didn't think.
Director of Carcass Management. Carcass job title.
Okay, the age of each animal, the long, lonely day, the birds of prey swooping around, and the horror that came at night. all revealed a piece of what God now foretold. Now, the question is, what does this mean to you?
What do you mean the horror that came upon
him? That's when the horror of great darkness came upon him. We don't know what that was.
Oh, okay, okay.
It's too terrible to talk about. It was probably... Did I tell you what the rabbis say the horror was?
I know what you said the other night. It's still got
What did they say?
It was the gospel.
Huh? Oh,
the gospel.
Yeah, but really what it was, in order for it to be the horror, he had to show him, he had to take him into Gehenna.
So this was like when
he saw the demons. He took them high above the clouds. I mean, high above the stars and saw the universe, but he took them all below the... Right. Spirit, in the spirit, not in the reality.
But it's evil.
Wow. Yeah,
it
wouldn't make no never mind. Really.
Okay, now, what the 3 years represented another story, that how for 3 generations the seed of Abraham would be afflicted in Egypt. But in the fourth, when the measure of iniquity of the inhabitants of Canaan would be full, they were to return and enter the promised possession of the land. Now, that's what I think, another thing that the three has to do with us here. Because remember, in the fourth generation, then a generation was 100 years, you understand? Now, at this point, the covenant was made, the bride was betrothed. It happened 430 years before the law. For a time, to the senses, it seemed like the betrothal was made of none effect because the law came, and that was the strength of sin. And it seemed like that Israel and you were unworthy to be the bride because the law came. And the law is the strength of sin. But the promise was made before the law. The law cannot disannul the promise, otherwise God would be a liar. Do you understand? It had to be this way. The promise came, the betrothal even came before the ultimate, from the Jewish standpoint, and spiritually from the Christian standpoint, is the circumcision. The promise was before the circumcision, the betrothal was before the circumcision in the flesh or of the heart. All these are true in you. Do you understand?
That's what he even said. Because today, my ex-roommate from college came over and he's just like really in the pits. He's not having a very good time. And I remember talking to him about what his inheritance was. And I thought, how can I talk to this guy about what his inheritance is? How can I say that to this person who... How can I do it? How do I know? You just told me.
Amen. Again, the covenant was made. The covenant was the betrothal. Now, in this case, not as usual with both parties passing through the sacrifice, but God alone doing so, since now the covenant was brought about totally by grace. Now, we don't see it in today's marriages, but at the marriages up until very recently, once the bride took on the name of the husband, her efforts ceased.
One thing I was thinking about, what you were just talking about, often, in just the betrothals or the wet marriages I've seen, it seems weird that there is a period of time where, you know, there's the declaration of promise, and then, for some reason, the man finds fault. I mean, so, and this, and this, and this, and this, and this, and it just seems like to be a process, almost, because it's been so...
Yeah, it's the law.
Prevalent. I mean,
it's the same thing.
I didn't realize that until just now.
It's inexorable. It has to take place.
I want to marry you, but you're really ugly, or so, you know, whatever. It's like the promise is made kind of as the anchor, and then
the law comes.
Comes and says.
There's all these things are wrong. Now, what we have to operate on the basis of is the promise. Right. No law can come, can affect that promise. That's the mystery of the gospel. That's the mystery of God. Now, the only reason the law is there is to take you, is to be the strength of sin.
So that the iniquity of the Amorites
is fulfilled.
So it was added because of
transgression. What serveth the law? It was added because of transgression till the seed would come to whom the promise is due. In history, in Israel, and in you.
So when the seed is fulfilled, there's no more law.
So the falling away, the man of iniquity is revealed, and the seeds.
Right, the man of iniquity is revealed, which is you, which is the sin of the Amorite. I mean, it's all here. You understand? All the New Testament mystery is wrapped up in Genesis 15. It's really neat stuff, guys. The point of this is that it's all grace. That Abraham had the thing that you must learn, the thing that you must hear, is all Abraham did was go to sleep. He rested. He entered into the rest. The promise was manifested.
So in the dark, I mean, back in the local situation, darkness fell. God still hadn't shown up.
Amen. God undertook all the obligations while we received all the benefits. The horror of great darkness come, God still hadn't showed up. When this, he was in the horror of great darkness, the horror of great darkness is not just the gospel, it's also the law. You understand? And it's also the fruit of the descent. It's also, I mean, it's
not us. And
so Abraham spends like 430 years in that state. And the seed that was there at the beginning is then revealed.
He still hasn't seen God. He still hasn't seen God walking through the covenant. Now what does he do? Then what happens? At 7 and 17. And it came to pass that when the sun went down and it was dark, again, the day starts. We don't care about the sun or the moon or the stars. The day for us begins when it's dark to the rest of the world. This is the beginning of the day. It came to pass when the sun went down and it was dark. Behold, a smoking furnace and a burning lamp that passed between those pieces. The smoking furnace and the burning lamp was the same divine brightness enwrapped in the cloud, the same as Moses saw in the bush, the same as Israel saw in the wilderness march through the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire. That's the Shekinah glory that the priest saw on top of the mercy seat between the cherubim. He saw God. When he saw God, as a smoking furnace, pillar of cloud, and a burning lamp, the pillar of fire. And then he knew that God had passed between the pieces.
What is the smoking furnace? Like, what would a furnace look like? I mean, obviously it didn't look like that.
No.
Was it like a lamp?
Yeah, it was, I'll give you the exact words.
Well, like, you know, like smelting furnaces at those times were just like big cake-looking things glowing gold inside.
The furnace is the word tanur. Just happened to have tanur in the Hebrew. And it means, all it means is a container of fire.
Ooh, look at that. It sounds like that one about when he walks in the cold. Burning coals in his feet, leprosy in the beams.
And the lamp is the word lapid, which means just, it could mean either lightning or it could mean a torch. L-A-P-P-I-D, lapid. When the covenant was made, the torch was the witness. Now, hear this. This is where it ties into a whole lot of stuff. The word for wife in the Greek, in the Hebrew, is ish. Isha, I-S-H-A-H. That means burnt sacrifice. The wife has to become the burnt sacrifice.
What does that mean?
It means you have to pass through the fire. Or everything that's of the time has to be burned away. Everything that's time dependent has to be consumed by the fires. What it means, if you have been in stealth, is it means it's revelation of the ashes of the red heifer, but that's another point. Understand a little bit?
So what is the fire?
Huh?
So what is
God?
Fire of God?
No. God is the fire.
Yeah.
It's God who puts himself on oath by passing between the pieces. Okay?
Well, gotta go.
Now, you gotta think of this as the marriage ceremony. Genesis 16. Now Sarai, Abram, now see here what we've got. We've got a covenant, we've got a promise, but we don't have any mother for the promise. You understand? He said, thy seed is who the promise is to. Abraham's seed.
But no babies.
But there's no babies. So there's no seed. A seed can't do anything unless it's joined to an egg. So there's no
inheritors.
There's no way to make the promise come to effect. You understand?
They're both real old.
Well, that's not there yet. Now Sarai, Abram's wife, bare him no children. Now they've been in the promised land 10 years now.
She's still a virgin. Is she still a virgin?
No. Well, that was a midrashim. We don't. That's not. You can't take those things. That's fine.
Oh, where does that come from?
Midrash. Yeah. What's one of them? It's one of the ancient.
Why did
No, the midrashim are the midrash means the understanding of the scripture. And so it's the deeper things. And so there are many midrashim. One of the particular rabbis said that she was at this, I mean, a whole school of rabbis taught it that she was a virgin. But anyway. Now Sarai, Abram's wife, bare him no children, and she had a handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar.
Well, now, that's it.
Huh?
That's Pharaoh's daughter.
It's Pharaoh's daughter. Hagar is the daughter of the Pharaoh who God scared the
pants on. When morning came, Pharaoh had accomplished the...
Right, after he'd been beat up by Raphaim.
Hey, Raphael.
But the point is, she's royal blood. Now that's the only thing. Abram is a king. I mean, there are pictures of Abraham in Egypt now, are they? Semitic tribe, they believe it's Abram at this time, coming down into Egypt, and it's a great procession with him in archaeological evidence. So Abram is a king. So he has to have again, they're concerned with the royal bloodline. So Hagar is Sarai's solution. You understand?
Yeah, Sarah's ashamed.
Sarah, well, not yet, she's not too ashamed. Huh?
So she says, go point my hand.
Now Sarah, Abram's wife, bare him no children, and she had a handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. And Sarai said unto Abram, behold, now the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go in unto my maid. It may be that I may obtain children by her.
Well, this is done, though. This was common, though, right?
Yeah. Right. And Abram hearkened to the voice of Sarai.
Hey!
It's
not ugly.
I feel so bad about it, Sarah, but if you want me to.
Now they went into the tent.
He went right in, didn't he?
Literally.
Then he came out. Then he went in, and he came out.
And Sarah, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, after Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land. Oh, it says 10 years. I thought I'd figure that out.
Bless God.
I was
it took me 3 months to figure that out.
I was using,
it was,
you know.
Right there.
The Book of the Dead.
Then
they figured it out.
And gave her to her husband, Abram, to be his wife. And he went in unto Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes. You understand what that means?
Yeah.
She said, I'm the true wife.
I'm the wife.
I'm going to have the promise.
I'm the wife. Sarah's despised.
I am better than she is. I have faith, she is.
Okay? Now, it was against the law for Sarah to do anything to her while she was pregnant. That was the law of this time. So she had to put up with, she had to do something here. So let's see what she did. And Sarah said unto Abram, my wrong be upon thee. I have given my maid into my...
It's your fault.
Yeah. I have given my maid into thy bosom, and when she saw that she had conceived, I was despised in her eyes. The Lord judge between me and thee. But Abram said unto Sarai, behold, the maid is in thy hand. Do to her as it pleaseth thee. Now, again, she couldn't kill her, but she did everything else. And Sarah dealt hardly with her. And she, Hagar, fled from her face. Now she's pregnant, but Sarah has made her life miserable because she's the queen. Okay? You got this?
Yeah.
Sarah isn't too swift either, is she?
Yeah, she's not a nice bear.
And the angel of the Lord found her by a fountain of water in the wilderness. Now where they found her, where the angel of the Lord found her was right near where Israel happened to spend 39 years, Kadesh Barnea, right near there. And the angel of the Lord found her by a fountain of water in the wilderness, by the fountain in the way to Shur. And what was going on here is she'd had enough. She'd picked up her toys and was going back to Pharaoh. She's going back to Egypt.
Wow.
Okay? And he said, Hagar, Sarai's maid, whence comest thou, and whither wilt thou go? And she said, I flee from the face of my mistress Sarai. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, return to thy mistress, and submit thyself under her hands. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, I will multiply thy seed exceedingly, and it shall not be numbered for multitude. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, behold, thou art with child, and shalt bear a son, and shalt call his name Ishmael, because the Lord hath heard thy affliction. Ishmael means God heareth. And he will be a wild man. His hand will be against every man, and every man's hand will be against him, and he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren, or prosper is what it says. He shall prosper in the presence of all his brethren. And she called the name of the Lord that spake unto her, Thou God seest me, for she said, Have I also here looked after him that seeth me? Wherefore the well was called Ber Lahairoi. Behold, it is between Kadesh and Bered.
What does that mean?
It means the well of that is the living.
But she said,
Thou God,
God
seest me. Or she said, Have I also here looked after him that seeth me?
Thou God, well, I don't know, what don't you understand?
I just don't get it. Could you make it in English?
She called the name of the Lord that spake unto her, Thou God seest me. That's his name. 13 is El Roi. It shouldn't be translated. You understand?
El Roi.
Okay?
Allah, El Roi. Pretty close.
For she said, Have I also here looked after him? Have I seen him that seeth me?
Oh,
have I seen him that seeth me.
Got it.
Okay?
What's it called?
Sees me, but I don't see him.
What is it called when God does this? It's not a...
It's called an epiphany.
Oh, it's what?
Epiphany.
Epiphany?
And Hagar bare Abram a son, and Abram called his son's name, which Hagar bare Ishmael. And Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bare Ishmael to Abram. Now,
so this somehow this balances the Annunciation of Mary. It's like some kind of mirror image.
Yeah.
But then after,
except it's like, not to her.
Right. I mean it's like the counterfeit.
No, 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 no. It's God.
What does this have to do with the... Well, but I mean, she wasn't up with promise, but he still was faithful to her.
Well, let me see if we can make some sense of all this. Instead of waiting, Sarah anticipated the Lord. She took things into her own hands, so to speak. She believed in God, but she believed... The lesson of this is she believed in God, but she believed God needed her help. She believed that the Bible said God helps those that help themselves. All of you know the Bible says that.
Here. Right.
Ben Franklin said that.
Saint Ben Franklin.
Saint Ben.
10 years had passed since they'd entered Canaan. It was time for something to happen. She wanted something to take place. Where's the evidence of his presence? Didn't want to wait. Now, none of you would do this. None of you would.
Daily.
Yeah, but the thing that I want you to see is that the fruit of your action will always be destruction. It's not, I mean, we have a prophecy here that the whole, you know, the Arabic race, they're saying they're wild men.
Just look at them now. And that's what it's saying about
Ishmael.
Kids too, that's all. They would be too.
No.
He is.
No, this is a prophecy about these people. Their purpose is to bug Israel. They have ever since.
He's talking about the Arabs. All the Arabs are totally descended from Ishmael.
Ishmael is the Arabic world. See, there are only three religions in the world that believe in one God, and all of them are centered right here where we're studying. Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. Islam believes all of the promises of God go to Ishmael. Christianity believes all the promises of God go to, they don't know who, but they're sure it's to them.
Ben Franklin.
Ben Franklin. And the Jews believe all the promises of God go to Isaac. And that's what all the wars in the Middle East are about, on the bottom line. Okay, she followed the custom and sought a son by the daughter of Pharaoh, her Egyptian handmaiden. After she was pregnant, she was driven away by Sarah. The angel of the covenant appeared to her as she rested by a fountain on her way back to Egypt. He bade her to return to Sarah and promised her a son and promised her that she should submit. Now, she was the... In law at this time... Hagar was the as much a property of Sarai as that ring is, or that watch is, or your dress is. Do you understand? I mean, she was the bond slave. Now, under existing law at that time, any offspring she might bear would be reckoned as Sarah's. But it still wasn't enough. Now, in verse 2 it says that God had restrained her, or she was restrained.
Restrained Sarah from bearing.
She was restrained from bearing. Now, the thing that you've got to know, see, for most of us it's pretty easy to believe that God starts stuff. But you never believe that God will stop stuff. You believe you, so therefore you always walk cautiously.
Yeah.
You understand me?
You don't feel like he'll protect you if you screw it up.
You don't think that the doors will close if there is something wrong. You think what it really means at the bottom line is that you believe you are stronger than God. And so therefore, the evidence of that is that you're careful. And I promise you something. There's nothing to God. There's nothing as boring to God as our carefulness. It's like big time boredom. Because what it says, your carefulness, what it says to God is, you're saying to God, I am stronger than you are. Now, I'm a lot of things, but I'm not very careful about. I mean, that's the one lesson of faith I've learned. It was hard for me, just as much as anybody. A lot of stuff happened to me. A lot of weird, dumb stuff. But I'm not very careful. And so it's important to you to know that. If there is anything in me to follow, it's the fact that I'm not careful. Not because I'm weird, that may be true, but it's because I've known from many experiences that God stops stuff as well as initiates. That's really important. Otherwise, you can't. A lot of people believe that God is the author of faith, but almost no one believes he's the finisher of faith.
There's something I don't quite get, the relationship between God's stuff, therefore you don't need to be careful. I'm missing something.
Why would you be careful?
It's like this.
You would think you'd be careful because you think you're going to make a mistake.
No, it's like this.
Yeah, or
there's a beautiful girl. I say, oh, there's a beautiful girl. Oh, I'm afraid I'm going to sleep with her. Oh, I'm going to deal with her. Oh, I better stop. I better try not to do this. But I might go over there and try it, and she just punched me right to the floor. God ended it before there was ever trouble. You understand?
But in your own mind, you think, I'd
better not do that. Or,
yeah. You don't take into account anyone but your own self. Yeah.
Roger. You understand? Think about how boring carefulness is to you. Think how boring it is to be careful. Think of a little kid that is careful, always trying to do the right thing, always trying to get it right. It's stupid. It's boring. It's phony. It makes you want to smack them. Sarah rightly saw that it was God restraining. However, she took the wrong course of action. I think we've had enough for tonight. There seems to be a dulling of hearing here.
Speak for yourself.
Think about what's the takeaway? Wait on the Lord. This is going to be Abraham's third mistake regarding the promise.
It's really encouraging.
First one, he thought it was Lot. Second, he thought it was Eliezer. Now he thinks it's Ishmael.
It's really encouraging that someone who just is really kind of a bungler could be a spiritual leader.
But it always seems like when he rested, God always came.
He rested. And we're talking a long, long time. Abraham is now 86 years old. Okay, this is a good place to stop. Take a big guy.